Well, another thing that happened 10 years ago today, so I can wish you all happy New Year, but I also can wish WinWorks Fellowship a happy birthday. Because 10 years ago today, WinWorks Fellowship began. And I want to take just a moment, I want to ask anybody who's here this morning who was there 10 years ago today, would you please stand? Greg, Darla, Brian, Susan, Anita. Yeah, and John Robinson was there. And I've got proof because 10 years ago, this is what we looked like. I always do this at some risk. I got a phone call last night, and I answered the phone, and I didn't know who it was. It was an Oregon number, and so I wasn't really knowing who was going to be there. Caller ID didn't identify it, and the person on the phone says, "Happy birthday!" And I didn't recognize the voice right at first, and I go, "It's not my birthday." He said, "Well, 10 years ago, we started something, and tomorrow's it. And happy birthday." Stephen Schaumler called last night, and Stephen and Gayla were the other couple that Anita and I began this adventure with and this voyage. And so he was calling last night to say happy birthday to WinWorks and to ask me to give you his greetings, those of you who know him. He and the family are alive and well down in the Portland area. And so those of you who are on Facebook, Stephen finally got on Facebook, and so you can hook up with him there and kind of see what the years have done to him. he's not been exempt, just like the rest of us. I'm not worried about it. He doesn't listen to me online, so it's all good. As Bob mentioned a few moments ago, we're starting a four-week series, and we're entitling it Kingdom Assignment, or Assignment Kingdom, Kingdom Assignment. But I wanted to kind of change it and tweak it a little bit for this week and say Assignment 2010. Have you all decided whether you're going to call it 2010 or 2010? Some of you are going, "Wow, I've never even thought about that. I'm not sure how I'm going to deal with that one." But anytime you begin a new year, you obviously start talking about resolutions. And so I went and kind of got the definition for resolutions. One definition said it's a formal expression by a meeting agreed to by a vote resolving power. Another definition said the trait of being resolute, something settled or resolved, a statement that solves a problem or explains how to solve the problem. And this is probably the most popular one this time of the year, a decision to do something or to behave in a certain manner. He always wrote down his New Year's resolutions. And so this morning I want to ask you, what are some of your resolutions? Anybody enter the practice of making resolutions? Okay, just state some of the common resolutions that we try to engage. Lose weight.
Get married.
Get married. Okay, we got to watch that guy. What else? Quit smoking. Okay, share Jesus. Share the good news more. Get in shape. Get fit. As a church now, we have to find a girlfriend for Nathan. This year, I guess it's, you know, I do this every once in a while. My wife will say every year. But this is this year's top 10 resolutions, as voted on by somebody out there. 10th is get organized. And Lord knows a lot of us need to get organized. Number 9 is to help others. Number 8 this year is to learn something new. Number 7 is to get out of debt. Number 6, quit drinking. Now, that one always gets in there because everyone's just experienced New Year's Eve. And come New Year's, they're going, oh, I'm never doing that again. Number five is to enjoy life more. Number four, quit smoking. Number three, tame the bulge. Number two, put the fit back in fitness. And the number one is spend more time with family and friends. Now, as I have shared these over the years, we've seen pretty much the same 10. And those of you who have been here, you've seen them. It's just different orders a lot of the time. But, you know, one person's definition of insanity is doing the same thing time after time and expecting different results. And it's kind of like those who keep making those same resolutions every year. This year I'm going to do it and never change any habits or practices. It is a definition of insanity because we keep doing the same things but expecting or hoping for different results. So I want to talk this morning about some spiritual resolutions. And number one resolution that I think we should, as Christ followers, engage in is seeking God. There's a text in Isaiah 55:6 that says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Another spiritual resolution would be ask God for wisdom. And probably direction and purpose would be a good add-on to that one. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. There's no conditions there. The scripture says, if you ask for wisdom, you want to know what 2010 should bring for you, what direction you need to go, ask God. And scripture has promised us that he is going to give generously without finding faults. He'll give that wisdom and that answer to you. Solomon, you know, God came to Solomon and said, I'll give you anything you want. What is it you want? And God was kind of blown away when Solomon came back and said, I want wisdom. He was so blown away that he said, okay, I'm not only going to give you wisdom, I'm going to give you extra wisdom. I'm going to give you wisdom that this world has never seen before. Because I endorse so much your request. And then expect results. Well, Dennis, now those first two I can kind of get into. But you know, expecting results, that kind of feels like manipulating God. That kind of feels like making him Santa Claus and that sort of thing. But here's what God has to say about it in John 16:23. On that day, you will not ask me for anything. Truly, I tell all of you with certainty, whatever you ask the Father for in my name, he will give it to you. Now, the only condition in that one is we need to ask in the name of Jesus. So when the disciples were wandering around and casting out demons and healing, whose name did they do it in? In the name of Jesus. They said, in the name of Jesus, rise. In the name of Jesus, be healed. That's the only condition that God lays out for us. And so as we start thinking about those resolutions, as we start thinking about what God wants us to do this year, let's do it in the name of Jesus. Seek wisdom from God. And then have the confidence to ask and then expect results on what you have asked for. Spiritual resolutions. Make time to spend time with God. Now, I'm going to go over these little, you know, you can read the whole list, but I'm going to go over them. Notice I put on there, make time to spend time with God. And down on the third bullet, make time to hang out with other Christ followers. We are in a culture, you are in a culture where you're too busy. Let's just straight up say it. You are too busy. And you are largely to blame for that because you run your own schedule, you put it together, and you schedule yourself too fully. And if you're not too busy, we tend to be too distracted. And I'm maintaining this morning, and I guess my appeal, my bottom line today is going to be, we've got to do something about our busyness, and we've got to do something about our distraction. Because we're losing valuable time. Where did 2009 go? You know, did you get everything accomplished in 09 that you wanted to get accomplished? Nathan's going to say no. But it's a new year. And so we need to find time. We need to make time to prioritize those things that are really important. And I understand we all have to eat. We all have to have a home to live in. And so we got to be out there working to support those habits, those needs. But when that becomes all-consuming, and for some it has become all-consuming, family suffers, spiritual life suffers, church life suffers, you suffer when we're too busy and we're too distracted. And so we also need to support God's work financially with our time and our energy, and that's through our tithe and offerings. That's serving here at WinWorks. And, you know, Donna didn't walk in here this morning expecting to be singled out as a servant of the month. Donna just does what Donna does with no expectations of reward or anything else. She's a servant. She has a servant heart. And so do so many of you, because you have served here. But, you know, the old adage or the old percentages, which I'm not real excited about, where 20% of the people do 80% of the work, we've got to change that picture. Because when we change that picture, then we're having to put another 10 rows back here to fill, allow the people to come in and sit. And so we need to support not only serving here at church, but out in our community also. And as Bob is going to be talking about, I believe, next week, we need to use those God-given talents, gifts, and abilities that you have. And yes, you have them. True, some of you who I've stood to during worship time probably will never be invited to come up behind a microphone because your spiritual gift is not carrying a tune, but you are definitely making a joyful noise. And I'm not saying anybody's names. So if you're giving yourself away, you're giving yourself away. But that's okay. Because let me tell you what, some of you who can't carry a tune, you are some of the most humble, effective servants this church has. Up there singing isn't the only way we serve. In fact, the real reality is, the thing that makes WinWorks go, I believe, as much or more than anything else, are the people you never see up front. It's not myself. It's not Pastor Bob. It's not the worship team. Don't get me wrong. God has gifted us. I had finally come to grips with the idea a few years ago that God actually gifted me to be a teacher. After enough parents and kids kept telling me so. And I know that's true about several of you here also. But serving, using those talents, those gifts and abilities. But again, that idea of hanging out with Christ followers, Saturday mornings is not enough, folks. You've got to find time away from church to hang out with other Christ followers. Socially, in small groups, and we're having a real emphasis this year in small groups. If you read the bulletin, you'll find in there, there's two new small groups starting this month. And Bob did not know what our small group was going to be. And after he preached his sermon last week, I thought, man, that is a God thing, because everything he preached about, fear, if you were here last week, the fear surrounding Christmas, everything he spoke about is what we're going to be studying as we go through the Max Lucado book, Fearless. And that's a book I had already chosen and hadn't told you. And so I said, man, there goes God again, talking about our fears, and then we're going to have a small group dealing with that on Tuesday nights. There's a small group at the Schieffers on Tuesday nights. There's a small group that meets here at the school on Wednesday nights. There's a new small group beginning down in Centralia Chehalis, for anybody that you know that lives down that area. This is times where we can come together and hang out with other Christ followers outside of Saturday morning. You know, some of us do some sports together, some better than others, but, you know, volleyball and softball. Every Sunday night, we open up this gym at 6 o'clock for open volleyball. You know, and sometimes we only have 3-on-3. Where are the rest of you? If you really want to fight the battle of the bulge, come out and run around with us on the volleyball court. If you really want to put the fit back in fitness. And then, as Donna said, be ready to share the good news. And that doesn't mean you got to carry your soapbox around with you, put it on the street corner, and stand up and pound it into everybody. It means that when you see somebody in need, you help them. When you see somebody naked, the Bible said, you clothe them. When you see somebody who's thirsty, you give them something to drink. Someone who's hungry, you give them food. That's the good news. That's what Jesus came here to share with us. It's not about all these rules and regulations. It's about people. And it's about meeting the needs of people. You got to feed them and give them drink and clothe them and get them warm and satisfied before they're going to hear anything you have to say about Jesus Christ. And that's sharing the good news. Sometimes a smile is exactly what a person needs. Philippians 4:13 puts it this way, I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. This call that you are hearing this morning is not a call from me to you saying, you got to pull up your bootstraps and get this done this year. The call you are hearing from me this morning is that if we are having any hope of impacting anyone in our lives, anyone in our community, then we've got to step aside and let the Holy Spirit start working in us and pointing us to who needs to be pointed to and finding ways to help people. It's the Holy Spirit's thing, not ours. But you've got to make yourself available to that. You're on call. And when you're on call, it means when your pager goes off, your cell phone rings, you answer the call. And that's what I'm talking about for this year, this 2010. Because I believe with all my heart what it says in Luke 1:37, for nothing is impossible with God. And then all the miracles did not happen 2,000 plus years ago. They're still happening. But I love the miracle that brought the children of Israel into the promised land. Anybody remember what river they had to cross, that final crossing to get into the promised land? The Jordan River. Okay, and I've seen pictures of the Jordan River, and during the time of the year that they were doing it, I love God's sense of humor. I'm not going to send you through and the water's low. You know, if the water's parted, poof, no big deal. We're going to do it during flood season. So hang on, folks. It's time to go into the promised land. It's during flood season and the river is running deep and wide. But the river never parted until the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant got their feet wet by stepping into the river. They could have stood on the shore the rest of their lives saying, okay, God, anytime, part the rivers and we're there. Now, they got in and got their feet wet, and God said, okay, you took the first step, bam, here it goes. Hang on. You make yourself available. You take that first step toward God, and all kinds of things are going to happen in your life this year. Zechariah 4:6. So the angel explained that it was the following message of the Lord to Zerubbabel. I am the Lord all-powerful, so don't depend on your own power or strength, but on my spirit. You are never, ever going to be successful. I don't care what resolution you have tried to make, fighting the battle of the bulge, getting fit, whatever it is, quitting smoking, quitting drinking, spending more time, stop being so busy, stop being so distracted. You are never, ever going to be successful on your own. You may be for a week, a month, you might even make it 6 months. But why do you think we keep making the same resolutions year after year? Because we tried to do it on our own and we can't do it. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is oh so weak. And so we have got to get into that frame of mind to stop depending on our own power and strength and figure out where the real source of the power is. Our scripture this morning, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. You want a change in your life? Get in Christ. Let Christ get in you. And you are going to experience change because all that old stuff is going to go away. It's not going to be without battle. For some people, it is. I've talked to ex-smokers, and I just praise God today that it was not one habit I never got hooked on. It's a good thing because I think I have allergies to smoke. I get around a campfire, and all of a sudden it gets all constricted, and I can't breathe. So, man, I would have been a great smoker, huh? But some people, when they try to stop smoking, boom, it's the craving is gone and miracle of all miracles. Some people, I think on the average, it says it takes them 8 times to quit smoking. So I want to be real clear this morning, and in my message thought, I tried to state the same thing. I'm not putting down keeping at something month after month, year after year, whatever. But change what you're doing. You want to quit smoking, then stop doing the same routine. Most smokers, as soon as they're done eating, what do? They want to light up a cigarette. Okay? Do something else. You know, maybe start sucking on a cinnamon whatever or something. Do something else. Change the old habits. You hang out with a group of people, and every time you do, you end up drinking all night and getting alcohol poisoning. And let me tell you what, I did that twice in my life. I have a very high tolerance to drugs. And so the short time in my life that I drank to the point of alcohol poisoning both times. Spent the entire night throwing up. I said, this is stupid. This is not what, you know, these guys look like they're having fun and everything else. I'm having everything. No. I never drank another drop. If you're hanging out with the kind of people that are dragging you down, stop hanging out with them. Start hooking yourself up with people that are going to lift you up. And you got to be aware of those people who need to be lifted up. We got some really positive people in this group here at WinWorks. People who would be good to be around. In a few moments, I'm going to show you a video just really detailing what it is I'm talking about. Because we have to be aware of those people who need us. So many times, they're invisible to us. And so if we do nothing different in 2010, let's notice those invisible people out there who need the good news, who need the hope, who need what you have this morning. And so what is your priority in 2010? Here's the truth. We may not like it, but overweight people are going to be saved. Poor and broke people are going to be saved. Disorganized people will be saved. We'll put them off in this corner of heaven so we don't have to look at their disorganization. out of shape people are going to be saved. And so on and so on. You get the picture. Yeah, for health's sake, we want to live as long and as healthfully as we can. And so if you're obese, statistics say you're not going to live as long. Your quality of life is not going to be as good. If you smoke, if you drink, you're not going to live as healthfully and perhaps not as long. But don't make it your obsession. Don't make it your idol, your goal, so that everything else is put on the back burner while you go out and obsess over money, your body. What we have done to the female population of North America is a crime. I deal with 11 and 12-year-olds. He deals with 12, 13, and 14-year-olds. We see it all the time. These girls who believe they have to look a certain way to be acceptable to anyone, because that's what our culture's done to them. And they need to be delivered from that. Luke 12:34, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If your treasure is in those promotions and that job, and boy, living in the nicest house in the neighborhood and all, that's where all your energy and effort's going to go. And it's going to be to the detriment, to the exclusion of those important things in your life, family, spirituality, relationships. You know, and God knew what he was saying when, through Jesus, he said, you can't serve two masters. You're either going to serve the mortgage and the lifestyle, or you're going to serve the Lord. Now, God has blessed some people to be able to do both. I, however, am not one of them. And so, and most of you are not. Not that we couldn't be, but at present state. So our treasure needs to be, and I'm going to put it this way, I'm not even going to say it needs to be in church, because I don't believe that. Your treasure needs to be in relationships.
That's right.
Your legacy, when you leave this earth, your legacy is going to be in the relationships that you have established, the way that you have impacted people. It's not going to be, your legacy is not going to be, well, he was a member of Windworks for, you know, 10 years. That's all we've been around right now. That's not your legacy. Your legacy is not having been an Adventist all your life. That's not your legacy. Those are just labels. Your legacy is not that you were a Christian all your life. That's a label. Your legacy is in your relationships. How well you loved the Lord God. How well you loved others around you, your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers. That is going to be your legacy. When you die, how long are they going to talk about you? Do you remember back when we used to, you know, we lost Ray Bartell a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. Those of you who have been in Olympia a long time, you know Ray Bartell. First time I met Ray Bartell, believe it or not, was probably around 50 years ago. Somewhere between 48 and 50 years ago, because he and one of my older brothers, Roger, sang in a group together here in Olympia. In fact, my brother Roger still has these old reel-to-reel tapes of them all singing. And people are still talking about Uncle Ray, because that's the kind of guy he was. His legacy is in what he did and the life that he led, and not the house he left, not the church he attended. It's who he was and the relationships he established. So one thing you have to ask yourself in 2010 is, what are you after? Whether you want to call it your legacy, I don't care what you want to call it. What are you after in 2010? What do you know this morning? What do you know about your neighbors? Yeah, you neighbors. What about your coworkers? What about you neighbors? What about your friends? What do you really know about them? And I'll even go to the next one. What about your church family? do we spend so little time together? We hang out Saturday mornings for a couple hours. Boom, we don't see each other. We don't talk to each other till next Saturday morning. In the meantime, people in our midst are being diagnosed with cancer. People are fighting this battle with this addiction. People are going through this instance, this situation. And nobody else knows because we're so superficially connected. And I don't say this in blame because you know what? I think even after spending 3.5 years with Jesus Christ, the disciples were exactly the same boat. And it wasn't until they finally got their heads together in the upper room, because Jesus told them to go there and told them to get prepared to receive a gift he was giving them. And so they got up there together and finally came together and really got to know each other by being transparent and being real with each other, that all of a sudden the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them on the day of Pentecost. I seriously question or wonder if we're ever going to have that experience unless we stop being so busy and so distracted and start coming together. Say what you will about the Beatles, they had some great messages, and Come Together was one of them. Right up there with All You Need Is Love. And now I know I've put those in your head, and I apologize. But I do know this, that there are people in 2010 who need what you have, and what you have is love, acceptance, and friendship. The best friends I have are in this group right here. So I know what your friendship's all about. But you know what? There's a whole lot of other people that need that same friendship. And yes, your eyes are not deceiving you. I'm bringing out computer number 3. Because computer number 2, one of the ports died. And computer number 3 doesn't want to come on. Did you put it to sleep? Well, I think you permanently put it to sleep. But I'm going to show you this video, even if you have to sit here another half hour. Because I would not have had to preach a word today. I think I would have just had to show you this video, and some of you have seen it already. Well, it's looking like it's on, but it's got a black screen. You know what? God is the creator of all good things. God did not create computers.
Go ahead and talk, entertain them, I'll get it.
Bottom line. And then you can watch the video after the bottom line. There's some things we have to get serious about. I don't mean legalistically so. You know, I've been to churches where someone has sat in the back of the church with a clipboard with everyone's names on it, taking roll. I'm not talking about academy, and some of you who went to academy and you had to go to worship, you know, times, boom, 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 you had to be there, or, yeah. I'm talking about in church, someone checking off whether you're in church or not. And if you start missing too many weeks of church, then you could expect a visit from Pastor Bob. He's the disciplinarian of this group. Actually, no. He makes me go with him, so. I don't want to get legalistic about this. But we are going to be very purposeful and a lot of stuff that we do this year about offering opportunities for us to get connected. We're gonna amp up our social outings. We're gonna, like I said, amp up small groups, because you guys, if you've never been a part of a small group, you need to go check it out. I'm not gonna ask you to commit to being there for, you know, 15 weeks or all year. Come 2-3 weeks in a row and check it out and see what's going on, because there's a lot of great things that happen in small groups that never happens here at church. You know, we're going to amp up opportunities of getting out and eating together. Well, I don't know who put it in the DNA of WinWorks, but food is in the DNA of WinWorks. And a lot of great things have happened over food. In fact, talking to Stephen last night, he was doing the reminiscing, and he said, "Do you remember when we went up to the Poodle Dog restaurant in Fife?" I don't know if it's even still there or not. But that's where we met with Pastor John McLarty, and we formed this relationship with North Hill Fellowship, who became our overseers as we began this journey of WinWorks Fellowship. And he said, "Do you remember sitting in there with Pastor John, and Pastor John saying, 'Yeah, you guys can come under our umbrella. I'll be your supervising pastor.'" And then those pictures you saw earlier, all those were taken in the living room of Gary and June Downs, where this whole thing started. In that first service, there were probably 15 young adults and adults there, not counting little people. And for 10 years, we've been going on this journey. And, you know, sometimes I've fought the urge to be discouraged about having this concept that being a church of significance means large numbers. I don't buy into that anymore. I think being a church of significance is being impactful in people's lives, changing people's lives, impacting the kingdom of God. And who knows what the ripple effect will be. So, is this ready to roll, Greg? Kathy, I'm going to ask if you would go out and shut off the light that has the blue tape above the switch, because it's a little bit better.
She is running 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. She is trying, but the canyon's ever widening in the depths of her cold heart. So she sets out on another misadventure just to find she's another 2 years older and she's three more steps behind. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? Or does anybody even know she's going down today? Under the shadow of our steeple, with all the lost and lonely people searching for the hope that's tucked away in you and me. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? She is yearning for shelter and affection that she never found.
Momentary lapse of reason and
steeple with lofty glances from lofty people that can't see past her scarlet letter, and we've never even met her. If judgment looms under every steeple with lofty glances from lofty people, can't see past her scarlet letter, and we've never even met her.
We are not a country club. Whose hero are you going to be in 2010? Because they're out there, they're looking. Whose hero? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for bringing us through another year and for the beginning of this new year. We pray your blessing upon this year. We don't know, we can't tell what's going to happen. But we know, because you've promised us in your word, that you will be with us through it all. And so we boldly step forward as individuals, as the church, to face the challenges, the promises, the hopes of 2010. And as this music video so vividly pointed out, there are people who are hurting in our community here in Thurston County, people who need you, who need to have the hope that we have this morning. So I would just pray that we would lose that country club mentality, that our eyes would be open and we could see those invisible people out there who are just waiting for an invitation, who are just waiting for a positive word, for a smile, for a good word, the good news, that you would give us that discernment to see them, and the courage to step forward. Even if we don't know what to say, what to do, you've promised you'll supply those needs. And so God, as we go forward in this year, as we talk about this kingdom assignment, as we talk about impacting the kingdom through the next 3 weeks, lead and guide in our discussions, lead and guide in our studies, but above all, go before us and prepare the way. Thank you for assembling us together today, for having us, allowing us this time. And as we leave now and go to the potluck, Lord, I just want to pray a blessing upon the food as well, that it will strengthen and nourish us and give us an opportunity to spend some time together in fellowship. And we give you all the honor and glory and praise for that. In Jesus' name, amen.